Good morning, everybody. It is the Wise Words of One Gun Show. We out here on the water. I got Brother Bo with me and a few other folks. We're doing this real fishing. So let me get back to this, and I'll get back to you in a minute. Pop. Show. It's all brothers on deck, and I'm going to go to the phone line from a co-host, Marvell. Marvell, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I was just thinking about the era of the tenors. First tenors were superb back in the day. They don't have much of that going on right now. But anyway, listen, I want to take this time when I have the air to share with this audience what I recognize as a miracle, and that is my brother Tim. There's an old saying that says, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Well, I have to say, don't omit the opportunity to see a miracle when it's right here before you. It's the grace of God and the love of God that has made this possible for Tim to be here, and I'll speak for myself as well, because we were venturing into behaviors for a long time that could have cost us our lives. And the grace of God and redeeming God has made it possible for us to be here with you. And I just want to let you know what the origin of where we came from and why we're here now, to share what we have to share and to hopefully encourage others to bring out the best in themselves.
Yeah, I agree with you, brother. I agree with you, and I love you for that. And you know what? If we would all just really mind our own business and get our business in order and then go out into the community and share that with our brothers and sisters, each one could do just a portion of that. We could build that economic base that we had before, where we didn't even have to go out of our own community to do what we needed to do, right? We need to get back into that, but we first must release whatever is holding us back from loving one another, because it's a shame how we as a people, man, we don't share love. And then when you do find it, already feels so good, because I'm out here on the fishing bank and I got love sitting all around me. So, you know, it feels good. It really feels good. And then to hear what you said, you know, it's just the Most High just having his way, right? And so today's topic, you know, it's a holiday. And so I have two youth that are working for the Florin Road Beautification Project, right? And they went to work today. They got up. They was on time at work. And do you know, 30 minutes after being at work, they called me and said, hey, do we have to work today? I said, do you have to work today? He said, yeah, it's a holiday. And do we have to work? I said, well, that's on you. You know, you get paid to work, so if you don't want to get paid to work today, then take the day off. Let me speak to your other brother. He said, well, he already asked me to call you to say we want to take the day off. I said, well, take the day off. But these are the same young men. 2 days from now, they're going to get paid, and 3 days from now, they're going to ask you if they borrow $5 to go get something from McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's happening in between.
yeah, man. So what I'm trying to say and all that I said, our youth always need us, and they need real guidance. A lot of parents are friends with their youth. This is what I see. And so when being a friend of your youth, you know, you don't really give them guidance, because you allow them to do what you're doing. And you know, some of the times we're not doing our best, and the ones that are, their kids is gravitating to it, and they fall off the track too. You know, you can give your child all the love in the world. It's on them to receive that, you know, and you have to stay on them so that they do on the right track, man. You can't take your hand off your kids. I don't care if they're 18. 18 don't mean nothing. 18 is a number.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I was thinking, as you were talking about the money disappearing. Yesterday we had a conversation about the value system, and how, and Mark was saying how expensive it is to have fun. You know, it costs a lot to be a part of anything that represents fun, and that it also costs a lot to represent those values and those things that the young folks feel necessary to have. Like, you know, they could buy a pair of tennis shoes. They can get paid that little money, and they could buy a pair of tennis shoes and be broke. If that's their value, right? However, we want to instill in the idea that the value is an implant, and we would do well to recognize implants for what they truly are. They're marketing tools to get us. They're marketing tools to get us to continue to buy in, to fatten the poke and the coffers of and the bankrolls of people who don't even use the product that they're selling us. They don't even use their product. They have when you talk about Nike shoes, their children wear specially made shoes. They don't wear Nike shoes. So
right,
it just made me just steer me right into the value system that's been implanted, that has grown in our community, and we would do well to uproot that value system, because it keeps us on the edge financially. We're not investing in those things that can appreciate. We're investing in things that automatically depreciate. Unfortunately, yesterday there was a lot of feedback in our broadcast, and there were a lot of things that were shared that kind of got garbled in the background. We talked about reparations as an oncoming potential for our people, and we also talked about the obvious fact that not much is being shared about it, so that everybody can be on point with it. So at this point, I am doing a little more research to find, or not just research to find, but I'm doing screening to find people who are aware of how important it is to not only put emphasis on what to do to help create this potential for reparations, but also to be planning to have options for investment once reparations are awarded, so that we can build something in this country that we are responsible for the manufacturing of and the production of and the distribution of, so that we can have a product or service or a host of products or services that the rest of the country would be compelled to buy into from us, rather than us being the number one consumer. As I said, we buy most of the high-priced shoes and high-priced garment country. We're the number one consumer. So now with the reparations potential, we have an opportunity to match our consumption with distribution.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
We talked about that yesterday, but it just kind of got garbled, unfortunately, with some in the background that disallowed that to be totally heard. I mean, it was a good, I was listening to it, as a matter of fact, prior to coming on today, I was listening to yesterday's broadcast, and I was impressed with how it flowed and how it introduced a whole bunch of options. It's just that, you know how it is when you got stuff in the background, distractions and stuff. It makes it difficult for you to get the full message. So hopefully we can pick back up on some of that today. What do you say?
And so you was already there, man. You was already there, because what you did say that I understood is that we are the consumers, big-time consumers, right? And so if they do give a reparations to us as a people, I beg to differ it that we would do what we need to do if we don't come up with a plan, like you said. Find a way to have a product or several products that will draw money in instead of us putting money out, because like they did that old EPP and CDD or whatever, PPD, whatever it was, they got a lot of money out to the people for the pandemic. They got a lot of money out. And a lot of my people, just saying my people, I'm going to be truthful. All we got was some cars, some gold teeth, some I got a car that don't even run. It just looked good. And I bought it, rode it 2 weeks. It's broke now. I got to put it in the shop. You see what I'm saying? We was doing that together as a people, as a whole, putting $50 together and go buy some property and open up something and buy a couple of more properties. You feel what I'm saying? We got to start somewhere. It ain't got to be, and it doesn't have to be, challenging, because we are a people of creation, creative people, and we can create. You understand what I'm saying? So if we don't put this creative ability that we have together and start creating stuff, and we go through another 20 years of what we're going through, the distinction they was talking about in 79 and back in that, before the 80s, they were saying the black man would be distinct and stuff and all that, right? And then in the 80s, it really got bad. You feel me? If we don't do something, the next 20 years, we might not survive it. I'm just saying, we might not survive. We's a strong people. We soldiers, we warriors, we all that. But we are people that are separated.
Right. You know, what I thought about when you said that was vision or lack of. And it is said that it is he who is without vision that shall perish. When we think about reparations, and we think about being awarded. They had a guy, so-called doctor, who stated on broad-based nationwide TV that reparations is a bad idea to give money to people who don't know how to handle it. So he concluded it shouldn't be awarded, because all they're going to do is blow it, right? And so in the undercurrent of what I heard him say is what I think he's smug about, and that is that we don't exercise vision beyond the immediate time that we're operating. We only have a short term of what it is that we want to experience, and that's all we focus on. We don't have plans. So when you ask a young person, what are you going to be doing 5 years from now? And they look at you like, 5 years from now? I ain't thinking about no 5 years. I'm thinking about in the next 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to be on my game enjoying myself, you know, and whatever I do beyond that, just as it comes, I'll just deal with it. But having a vision about where I'm going to be in the future is not a practice. And I understand why it's not a practice, because our visions get powers that we don't have any influence with. We get promises made and promises broken. So we protect ourselves as a rule by not anticipating very much. That's why when you say reparations to somebody now, they'll say, well, I heard about it, man, but you really think they're going to give us that money? Oh, man, they ain't going to give us. That's what I hear a lot of. Man, I ain't on that. If they do it, cool. If they don't, cool. It's not cool either way to say if they do it, because we're not asking them to give us anything but what we deserve. We're not asking them to look at all these facts that were compiled, 1,100-page documents saying that there's no way that you can ignore our contribution in this country. There's no way you can award another group of people reparations for what you did to them or what they contributed and not do the same for us. So we're just declaring that it's time for us to get what we have coming. But a lot of people have this attitude that they don't want to set themselves up mentally, emotionally, for something that they might be let down on. And that's what we're used to. So now is an opportunity for us to look at what it is that we have in ourselves that, if given an opportunity, we could thrive as a community, as a culture, as a group of people in this country, and if we start investing in the belief that if that does occur, this is what we're going to do, and be prepared for that. That's my effort in this awareness for the reparations, is that we have a plan that's been researched and clear that if you get a reparations award, if you invest in yourself or into the people that that look like you, that we can establish ourselves as a foundation to make things happen for us and be an influence in how this country thrives from this point on. So yeah, it's lack of vision. So that's what I'm saying. We're visionaries because we know where we were, and it was on the brink of devastation where we were. And so in order for us to have overcome where we were, we had to have a vision of where we wanted to be. So we practice vision. And what we're asking our people to do is to open up their minds and start practicing more vision than the immediacy. That makes sense?
Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. I went mute because the background that I'm at, it'll come through. So if I'm delayed a little bit, it's because I'm coming off of mute. But, brother, you hit it right where it's supposed to be, you know. It's not reparations, really. It's a debt owed to us. How about that?
How about that?
It's a debt owed to us. If you want to say what it really is, it's a debt owed to us. Now, you call it a reparation, that'd be, I don't know, you know, guess that's the trick of the beast, you know. That's what it is. It's the trick, you know, thing that, you know, that we deserve as a people, you know, as a people. You're tearing down the monuments, you're tearing down these statues, you're tearing down a whole bunch of stuff, changing names, and you're doing a whole bunch. You know, you're doing a whole bunch, and I'm not going to compare no dollars that's going to the war to the dollars that already been owed us. I'm not going to do no comparing to that. That's self-explanatory, and I ain't got time to waste right now. But when we do get it, whatever we get, if we don't come together as people in love, man, and really uplift each other and throw in on the pot, everybody, if you're getting something, everybody throw a few dollars in there. Go do what you do with your other money, but put this in there and let that thing be. It's just the leadership has to be genuine. There's genuine people out there that don't want to fool with people, because every time they do, they always get picked at and considered markish. And so then we have to go through them trials and tribulations when all you had to do is do what you said you was going to do with that person, and we would have been where, a lot further than where we at. So all I want my people to do, man, is love on each other. Like out here, we out here on this water, I keep telling you, ain't nothing but love on this water right here. Everybody spoke to everybody. Everybody realized we out here to relax and do a little fishing and a little conversating, right? Ain't nobody trying to trick nobody. Ain't nobody trying to, you know, outswindle nobody. Ain't got no ill thoughts. They want you to catch a fish. So it could be done. It should be done. And I'm waiting on it to be done. I'm gonna get off the mic, man. I'm just talking. I'm talking to you,
no, man.
Because I love you. Because I love you.
I know, man. You know? Listen, dig, brother. Listen, man. You know, we talked about this when we first met, about the word brother, right? See, I was going to say the morning. I was going to say, good morning, hood. That's brotherhood, that is, because brotherhood is a declaration of kinship and an acceptance of the likenesses that we have more than any differences. And we understand that. So remember, we used to say, when we heard some people say brother, we used to like wince. Like, I don't feel that. I think he's full of it, just calling me brother. But now we're developing a sense of brotherhood that is going to be contagious. Because when people see us together, the first thing they think, they can't think that we're up to anything because we're a bunch of mature brothers that come out of a place and we're out in front, or they ride, they walk by and they look in a room and they see us all together. I'm sure they're curious, like, dang, what's going on in there? And then if they stand around, they'll see that there's an atmosphere of care that is attractive. So we're practicing some things that once we put something in motion, it'll have the factors that you're talking about to attract people to want to participate. And one of the things we talked about yesterday was trust. Trust. There has to be trust for any of these relationships to be launched and to get off the ground. We have to have trust. So in this case, when we talk about reparations and doing research and preparing ourselves to be able to have an investment plan, the most important thing aside from the research would be trust, that the people that we're appealing to, after the fact, after their award, will trust without a doubt that when they invest in what it is that we have prepared, going to get what they invested in. It's going to get it. And so that's why when I talk about research, I'm talking about research for products and services that we are already strong in. Not something brand new, something we're already strong in, something that it could be earthly. Most likely it's going to be agriculture. That's where we're gifted in. We're gifted in agriculture. All the way back to the homeland, we've always been gifted with the land. So we can focus on something that makes it easy for us to see, oh, yeah, I can see that. I'll put mine with that. Then we'll have an opportunity to carve our way into the respect as being a distributor rather than a consumer in this country. Because everybody targets our dollar, but they don't really have a respect for us as a people. Because I was saying yesterday, we could ride down a major street in this city, and we'll see that one culture, that's what they do. Because you'll see it in their signs, you see it in what they're offering, and you'll see it in their employee base, who that belongs to. But there's only one place, and I said this, and it dawned on me when I said it. There's only one place I know in this city that when you go to it and you go inside of it, you know that we're represented there, and that's the 24th and Florin Marketplace. The only place in the city that I've seen, now I could be wrong, it might be an oversight, and I missed something. But the only place I've seen where you know for a fact when you go inside of it, it's representative of us, is there. So that's the type of thing that we want to be able to expand upon, knowing that we can circulate our money and to perpetuate our growth within our culture and our community. And that's the type of research, and that's the type of product service, and that's the type of collectivism that we're looking forward to building with. And this reparations potential allows us the opportunity to have that vision, because now is the time to exercise vision.
I agree, brother. I agree. And so, you know, you said a lot when you said that it's really on us. It's really on us to do what we need to do. It's really on us, man. It's really on us. And so I just think that we have a good vision in what we do with the youth. There should be more people that see that vision within their own children or neighbors or You know, you don't have to go out and find these kids. These kids is right around you. So, you know, to give them the attention that they need and then support them right where they at, that's how they move to the next square. And so I've seen a lot of work that you've done, and I've recognized how magnetizing it is, because once you touch one, it makes another one attach, because they see the love you showed that one, right? And so it brings on more joy just by you touching one, you know, because like I said, the effect that you give them, it makes it magnetizes, it draws to, right? And so I appreciate what you do for our youth, man. So can I say that worldwide?
Yeah, well, hey, so our youth are worldwide. We're everywhere. I was astonished to find there was how many foreign countries that our population has a portion in. And then I found out we even live in like Omaha and Kansas City and Nebraska. Wow. I'm thinking, wow, those are rural kind of places where it doesn't seem like we would be black folk, but we're everywhere. So, yeah, let the word be known that there is a model that we can emulate, or a model that we can apply in dealing with our young people that has potential for good success. You know, we have what we do, and I'm not going to mince words and try to say that it's an automatic. There's work involved. There's work involved. And then, as I said, we're sort of like grateful for our redemption because of our past, that we're not going to waste time and we're not going to not apply the skills that we have to get the result that we get. I'm not saying it's going to be just a shoe-in, you walk in and it's automatic, but be an understudy of anybody who has the potential to influence our young people and start practicing that method that they're using. Because we need to be on, right now we're not even on the same street as an adult population, because a lot of adults are scratching their head, not understanding and trying to figure out why the kids doing what they doing, and the kids doing the same thing for the adults, wondering why they don't try to understand why they are the way they are. So everybody, there's a lot of confusion about the communication and keeping the connection. So if you find someone or observe someone who is practicing that ability, I think we will all do well to get on that street. Eventually, we end up in the same house. And then eventually, we all be in the kitchen like every down-home household. The place everybody end up at is the kitchen. We're going to end up in the kitchen cooking up, smelling up good food, and the closeness that we feel as a people and the soul that we feel when we come together, we'll be able to do that, but we have to get on the same street first. So I'm urging folk to not only send your kids to people who have influence, go there and see what they're doing, or probe the kids, ask the kids afterwards, what's going on, so you can get on the pulse of what's working.
Yes.
Because we have to work together.
I agree with that, brother. Hey, it is All Brothers on Deck on Blog Talk Radio. I'm DJ Wungone. I got Marvell on the line, man, and we're going to take a moment of pause for the calls, and I'll talk to y'all in 2 seconds. Hey, that's Bloodstone Natural High right here on All Brothers on Deck on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, so, man, what I want to say is, oh, we got Mark in here. Mark, what's going on, Mark?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm in it to win, man.
Hey, hey Mark. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
And so, yeah, we've been on for a minute, and I'll let Marvell do the recap because I'm out here on the water. I'm trying to get some crappie right now.
All right, all right.
Yeah, so yeah, Mark, we had a nice session yesterday. It's just that I think it's good to revisit some of the things that we talked about because there was a lot of feedback and something happened with the reception that made it so that it wasn't as clear as we would like for it to have been. So Tim and I were just talking about not only reparations as a subject, but vision as a subtopic to it, right? And matter of fact, vision could take the place of reparations and be first. But it's important to have something to look forward to enhance or to prepare you to have a greater vision. So we'll say that reparations project is something that we can look forward to be able to exercise a vision.
Right.
Because it is a mean upon which all things that we will require to make that vision occur will be available to us if we do this right.
Right.
Right. But we were also talking about, because Tim was saying, he said he got these little kids, no, I ain't going to say little kids, young men. He got those young men hired, and they making a fair wage for their efforts, right? But he said that they can get paid tomorrow, and then Monday they'll be trying to borrow $5. And we laughed about it, but then in under my laughter is a curiosity about why we are anticipating that they're going to blow their money. And the reason that it occurred to me is that the value system that exists that makes them feel successful or whole right now would gobble up their little wage. Because they might go pay $150 for a pair of tennis shoes.
Right.
Right? And so that lack of vision, even in that little instance, there's a lack of vision about what things will look like for you in 2 weeks if you're spending all your money that you made for one or two items in 1 week.
Right.
So that vision, the lack of vision is just something that seems to pervade in our culture, is that we're the right now culture, you know? It's like we can't trust anything that's going to happen too far in the future because we've been disappointed so many times.
Right.
Visualizing and anticipating something to happen. So let's just get what we got coming right now.
Right. So what I'm going to say to that is we're so frivolous with money because we've been conditioned to be. They advertise the advertisements of certain things on TV. Oh, I got that amount. I can go get it. Oh, they got this. I'm going to go get it. Oh, I can get something better than them. I can top them. We've been conditioned to do that. We have not really truly been conditioned to save for a rainy day, to, oh, what he's wearing is nice, but I don't need that. We haven't been taught to do that. See, we've been told that if you work, you can have that. But we haven't been taught that, do you really need that? See, you got to count up the cost, as in anything. Whatever you chose to do, you got to count up the cost. You got to look at the big picture. What is the outcome of me doing this? That's what we got to think about. See, But we're not taught that. We're taught to buy, see, buy. Oh, I got to get this amount of money. Buy, buy, buy. Oh, if I can't afford it, I can borrow it. But see, sometimes you have to say no. I have the $5, but I can't give it to you because I need this $5 to get something in the future. See, I'm saving up for something else, something that's more beneficial to me, something that's going to help my growth. If I give it to you, then that means I got to regain that. You're not going to give it back to me like I want it. And if you do give it back to me, then yes, I mean, you're going to be short $5 on what you're trying to get. So that's what we've got to think. Now, if a person really needs something, I give it. But I'm not in a position to give anybody anything because I'm not looking for handouts, but that's what I get is handouts, you know. And I really want to grow from that. I want to get away from that. I really would like to get away from the use of money, period, because that's not us. That's not our money. It will never be your money. And the things you buy with it will never be yours. You could buy it. You could have it. You could enjoy it. But as soon as you miss a payment, the person that owns it gets it back. So everything is temporary. So until they understand that, it's going to be the same. We're going to keep doing the same thing. Same thing. It's all good as long as we got it in our pockets. But when we're without it, oh, woe's me. See, till you learn to be happy with nothing, you'll never be happy with something because you'll never get enough of it. It's an addiction. Go ahead, my brother.
Right, Mark. Okay, so listen. Yesterday, because we are in our after school class structure,
uh-huh.
We deal with a lot of subjects. We put the words on the board and we define the words, and then we associate the words with what it has to do with our experience. And
right.
A lot of times it opens up, you know, so we can smoothly segue into some other topics because they all seem to correlate once we get into them, like words like confidence and discipline and consistency. We use words like that as a beginning, and then when we start delving, we find that these words have something that's necessary for you to have the experience of them. So anyway, we did a rehash of some of the words we did, but I had one word covered up on a sheet of paper. I had it on the board, and I had it covered up. And, and I posed it to him like this. I said, the word God implies power and an influence that if you have got any sense at all, and I ain't saying that you know, senseless, but you have to have sense to recognize that power, however you want to call it, if it's God, if it's Jehovah, if it's whomever, whatever that source is, you have to recognize that it is an extremely powerful influence in what happens for us as humans, right? And I had this word covered up, and I said, but there's a word and there's another entity on this earth that has a semblance of the power of God. And one of the kids hollered, money. And I snatched the sheet off of it, and there it was, money. And we had a conversation about money, and what we got through with that conversation, what we recognized was not that money itself is the root of evil. It's the love and the compulsion and the insidious power
that it seems to have
on people.
If I may, can I just interject real quick? We say the love of money, but you have to go to the creator of money. God did not create money. As I said before, God did not create the things that man has created. What man has created is not of God. because man created it for his own means of having power and rule over man. That's how man has become a god over other men, through money. He who has all the riches, the toys, becomes the big man in anybody's mind. I want to be like him. They don't want to be like God. They read the Bible, but they don't want to be like God. They want to be like that man driving that Rolls Royce or that Bentley or that Mercedes. You know, they want to be like that dope dealer. Oh, he's got it going on. I'm going to be just like him instead of being like God. See, the Bible says you'll cross and follow me, but they don't follow God. They follow the man with the bag. That's why I say again, they chasing the bag. See, once a man realize that you can't make something and you're steady trying to get what you can't make, you're just beating your head up against the wall. You're beating a dead horse. He ain't going to get up. You can't get on him. He ain't going to get up. But you're going to stand there and beat him. Try to ride him anyway. So you just standing still. So that's why I said we got to get back to basics. And the only way we could do that is we got to get some resources, pull them together, and rebuild what God built. See, we got to tear down the walls of religion. That brings about division. There are no worse than gangs. We got to get back to basics. We got to grow our own. We got to till the soil. If you believe in God, you got to do what God said do. Till the soil. That's working with your hands. Build your own shelter. That's working with your hands. See, like I said, we're moving too fast. And the faster we're moving, we think we're progressing. Sure, it's progress for man, but it's not progress for God. God is frowning down on us. We have come so far away from God that it's unbelievable. But yet and still, we'll stand there and quote scriptures and this and that. But we don't believe what we're saying because we're not living it. So that's why I say, in order for us to renew something, we got to start rebuilding something. We got to rebuild a community that works together in the field, growing stuff and sharing stuff. See, that's how you get back to base. You got to start sharing, not, oh, you owe me this, you owe me that. No, we're a people of barter and trade. We're not
Can I get in for a minute?
Yes,
you
sir.
Said what Marvell said. I had to get in just for a minute. You just said what Marvell said. You just said the same thing Marvell said. We got what we have to get back to and all. But what I want to say right now is we're going to take a break right quick, and we're going to holler at our folks in a minute.
You know, life is funny when you look at it. Everybody wants love, but everybody's afraid of love. You know, I'm a true believer of that. If you get anything out of life, you got to put up with the toll that's right. Now listen. Ooh, you're pushing my love a little bit too far. I don't think you know, I don't think you know how blessed you are. And your friend Annie Mae tell you all she sees, and never thought she was trying to get close to me. Yeah. Think it over, girl. But that's a sacrifice that life put you through, put you through, put you through. Trust in me, my dear. Have no fear. You don't set me here, here. Take it over, take it over. You better take it over.
Sound of Bobby Womack. Oh man, you know what? The mic was on the whole time. I had the music on, and I want to apologize to the listeners out there. Let me let my brothers back in, right quick. Hey, brother Marvell, brother Marcus, still there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
we're back.
All right, peace.
Right on. So what were they hearing in the background?
Never mind. Some more Markism.
Hey. Okay, so listen. Okay, listen, man. I think I mentioned yesterday that I'm a writer, and I also mentioned yesterday that oftentimes I speak the way I write, and it's not I use a lot of uncommon words. But what we've been talking about, I've written a piece, and I'd like to share it with you if you don't mind.
I'm all ears.
The title of the piece is Let Us. In my heart, there is a want for these people of mine to open up their eyes and draw a clear and defining line between what's left and what's right, what's cold and what's hot, between what's really important and what really is not. For the values we now praise, rarely ever choosing the question, have woven their way through our culture and society by the mere power of suggestion. Yes, of course, a capitalistic system has made us accustomed to having things, yet it is contrary to our character to cater to well-marketed frills and bling. glamorizing cars, clothes, and jewelry, and other false impressions of wealth, rehearses illness that imitates wellness and eroding our emotional and spiritual health. Let our desires not exceed our budgets in the stores and malls in which we shop, buying glued together shoes and man-made material at $150 a pop. Let us cease to allow those designers to tell us what on us looks good, for us to strut looking rich and prosperous to the backdrop of poverty in our neighborhood. Let us cease to allow those others to cleverly market us their wares, while our dollars fund all their ventures and for all their trips, we pay their fare. Let us finally begin to reason that most of these values are just a mirage, like having a $40,000 vehicle parked on the street instead of a garage. Let us relax from all these pressures and no longer continue to pretend that what defines our worth and purpose is a glow from without rather than from within. Like the richness of the grape that's ripened beneath its skins belies its wines, it is what's beneath our shells and skins where our majesty best shines. I think that kind of caps, puts a cap on of the things that we've been saying, is that we're devoting our energy and attention to something that's been marketed to us, and we can counter that by giving attention to our natural resources. We are the more creative, I ain't going to say the most of what I could say, we are the more creative of species. We are the more resilient of species. We are the more home, you know, we're wholesome. We're the more wholesome of species. And we aspire to excellence. Well, see, think about this. Whatever we get involved in, the end result is excellent. The NBA would falter. The NFL would falter without us because we excel. So that's why I want to revert back to the idea about the reparations, is that what reparations is doing, and Tim said it earlier, and I agree, it's not the right term. It's like James Brown say, I don't want you to give me nothing. Just open up the door, I'll get it myself. So just give us what we got coming, and we'll repair ourselves. This is not a one-size-fit-all project. Give us the money and we're fixed. No, give us what we got coming. And we'll take it, and we'll repair ourselves. What you say, Mark?
I agree with you 100%, and that's one of the things we need to get back to. The words of old, the songs of old, they had a great meaning. James Brown, Billy Brothers, a whole lot of the old singers, they gave words of wisdom to us. And we're living in a time now where those words should have taken place a long time ago. But like I say, for a lack of respect to the words of wisdom, we sought our own selfish needs. And like we walked away from reality off into Alice in Wonderland, you know, we went down that rabbit hole. And for a lack of word, we're doing what they want us to do. And us as a group of men with the knowledge of the wrongdoings and where it's leading us, we know better and we're striving to do better. And I thank God that we're not the only men out there that's striving to do better. It's just we're not together. See, there are a lot of us with this thought pattern. But we're not together. If we can get together on some type of means like a podcast or something where we can take what each other is saying and print up some literature so we can pass out so people can take home and read it and they can pass it on, this thing will catch on like wildfire because people are tired. And some people are sick and tired of being tired. And that's where growth is going to take place. We just got to, like Brother Joe said, put the boots to the ground. We got to get busy.
Yeah.
We got to begin to live this. We can no longer just talk about it. We got to live it. And until we live it, nobody's going to believe it. They got to see us doing this. So we got to get out here and get in touch with Miss Essie. Is that her name, Tim? The lady that do the gardens. We got to get in touch with her and other people like-minded and begin to grow and begin to show them how what we're doing and how we're saving by doing this. And like I said, it'll catch on. And we got to get with people that seamstress and stuff. Make our own clothes. And then we show them the fashions that we've come up with without going to these stores buying this name brand stuff. But we got to make it reachable for our own. We can't put the prices that these Nike and all of them got on their clothes, Gucci and stuff. We can't use them prices. We got to reach people where we're at. You know, we can't keep putting stuff out of reach. You know, we got a lot of black designers, black outfitters, people that sell clothes and stuff, but the price is just as high as the oppressors. So how can we win if you just feeling your line in your pocket? See, it's not a one-man thing. We got to work collectively if we want to rebuild a community. Because like I say, when I grew up in Oklahoma, we had stores, but our prices were for our people. Just like these other stores, these Asians, these Mexican stores, they got prices for them. Then they have a price for us when we come in. See, so we have to think like they think. We're going to help our own. We're going to rebuild our own. Then we can begin to help others. And sure, we can set a shop up where we'll sell stuff at a top dollar price to the others. But for us, we got to get time. See, that's what we got to think. Man, we got to have love for one another. Because, see, if you look for money, you ain't got love for me. You just,
well,
you know, want
to hide from,
Mark?
Where do we start with that? There has to be a beginning point for the establishment of the love that's going to be the freedom for us to be an entity, a respected entity by others and respected first for and by
this
ourselves.
Starts here and now. This is where we start. We start
okay,
right
that's
here.
The what, but tell me how. What do you think of the beginning formula for establishing that connection?
Well,
what do you think?
We need to build our own schools, first of all, where we can train.
But Mark, that's a mid to long term. I'm talking about now. What do you think is a good something to insert in the atmosphere starting now that will help create the feeling of connection, kinship, brotherhood, sisterhood, and our place as a body here? What do you think we can start doing?
Through outreach, we reach out to those that's able to do, and let them know that what they do can be a benefit to us all and how we can utilize that to bring back unity. Because, like I said, we have seamstresses. We have people that do these things. And they're just sitting. Some of them just making dollies because they don't have nothing else to do. They don't think nobody's going to desire what they're making. Nobody's going to want it. But we show them that there's a need for it. And we start to do those things. That's what Black Wall Street, that's how you build a Black Wall Street. You can't say it's a Black Wall Street when it's just like Macy's or something like that. You know, you walk in there, wow, these prices, I can't afford that. It looked nice, but I can't afford it. So it just sits on the rack. You know, the food and stuff, oh, I can't afford that. So it just sits on the table. And people wonder why nobody's buying it. Make it feasible for us so we can buy it. It don't cost you that much to make it. And that's what we got to
look at. Okay, Mark, let me insert, because I was really, you know, what I hear in response to the question is it's midterm, long term. But in the short term, what makes sense, well, what you just said makes sense, and that is, for instance, we find someone who is a seamstress or a tailor.
Right, whatever, you know.
We screen them to find that they're quite capable of creating and producing the type of garments that would be good on the market. And then we pull together resources to
and
put
train
them
up
in a position.
Right.
To put them in position so that they can have everything they need and be able to teach what they know to be able to create
a fashion line
of sorts, right? That's what we can do immediately is, again, screen, pinpoint those who have the gifts and skills and pour into them. You don't even have to wear the clothes yourself, because listen to this. I said this earlier, that the people who sell us the high price goods, their kids don't even use them. Their kids have specially made shoes. Their kids they don't wear the products that they're benefiting from us from selling at a high yield, because the markup is what allows them the freedom to be able to go have handmade, specially made shoes, right?
Yeah. Right.
So we would do well to identify those who have the capability and pour into them, whether we wear a lot of fashionable or not. It's just a sensible investment. So it goes back to investment. That's why I keep on swinging to and fro from now and reparations, because we can start preparing ourselves for what can happen in a reparations award if we can pour into someone who has a skill and invest in them. Right? That's something we can start doing right now.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you know what?
Help.
You know what, Big is in, man? I'm going to share this with you. I volunteered to the 24th from Florence, the operator there. I think he's the owner. I've had a notion about him. It's a personality thing, right? But what I've learned to practice, and I had to practice with this individual, is what they call principle over personality, right?
Yeah.
You might not like somebody, don't let it overshadow what somebody is doing. Or don't let it overshadow what somebody can do, right?
Right.
And be like, man, I ain't doing nothing with him, man. I don't like him. Well, if you like what he's doing, forget about whether or not you like him.
Seek the need and not the fault. We got to quit looking at each other the way we look at them, because we're not going to like everybody. We're not going to get along with everybody. But everybody has a useful need for everybody, and that's what we got to look at.
Principle over personality. That's what I'm saying. So the story that I'm getting ready to tell you is that I looked at that facility, and I said, what could I do to help something that's going on here? So I took him some items that I have in my inventory, and he didn't want to accept them as a gift, so he made an offering, right?
Uh-huh.
And now every time I go in there, if I see something that can stand improvement and I can help it, I'm going to pour into it, because it is a working organism. It's working. When you go in there, you see that it's growing. I remember when last year we went there to try to rent a space, and he said, well, all my spaces are full over here, but we're building. And he took me on a tour, and he showed me where they're building onto the vicinity, new spaces, right?
Wow.
So it's growing. It's working. So when something is working, the sound investment is in what's working. Regardless of whether or not you like the person that's working it, you got to like what's working. And so that's what I'm thinking we can do immediately, is to start looking around, seeing who's doing what well, and pouring into them and investing into them so that they can blow up and trust that, or maybe not even trust. We might have to do paperwork and contract to make sure that people don't blow up and then blow up, you know, and blow you off, because that's a potential. And, and unfortunately,
thing.
That's something that happens with us a lot.
It's going to happen. And that's the thing we got to understand. It's going to happen. You know, that's the inevitable. It's going to happen. Everybody's not going to do right. But we can't allow that to stop us.
Okay.
We just get rid of it, you know. I like that.
We can't allow that. He's like, see there, man, I knew, man, I ain't doing that no more. You know, that's kind of like a cool little outweigh for not continuing to keep the vision alive. Because we're operating with a vision. That's what I'm saying is that the most important thing.
You know, here's the thing, brother. They gave us an outline to success. The Bible is an outline to success. We just got to reword it, redo it, and stick to it. See, we all have to place ourselves in the shoes of Jesus. That book, everything in that book, he didn't give up. He kept going. And see, that's the type of mindset we got to have. And that's what the book tells you. Pick up your cross and follow him. Don't get lax. Don't get lackadaisical. Don't get upset. Now, what if he'd have got mad when all the people that just, oh, no, he ain't nothing, this and that. Wouldn't nothing happen. I mean, it'd have been a short book, short story.
Well, hey, I'm gonna bring it local. I'm going to bring it local. Because I was riding with Tim yesterday, and Tim said that when he wanted to start hooked on fishing, he said, there was nothing but denunciation. It was nothing but, oh, man, what? Man, that ain't fishing. Well, get out of here. Get out of here, man. Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Here's the punchline. The vision was so strong that the provision was soon to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he didn't let himself be shaken from the vision because he knew that the vision was solid. He knew that the vision had potential to help a lot of people. So he stood on the vision, and that's what we're kind of short in our culture. We're kind of short in two things: memory and vision. We forget stuff real easy, and we don't project things too far. That's something that we can plant a seed to redress that.
We have a problem with, if it ain't our idea, I ain't going to follow it. I thought about that, but you didn't do nothing with your thoughts. So join this man in his thoughts. You help the vision. You see benefit in it. You help it. You get in and do what you can do. But it's not a challenge. You just keep going.
No, I ain't talking about the individual. I'm talking about the challenge is to get people to see that, right?
But
so we have to keep plowing. We have to keep tilling the soil, keep tilling the soil, keep tilling the soil until we can get a seed, right? Keep tilling the soil. That's what I'm hearing you say, is we have to keep tilling
the
soil.
All seeds don't come up at the same time. You know, you got to look at it like trees. Some are stunted, and just like back to the book again, some things fall on fallow ground. You know, the ground is not fertile for it. So in other words, their mindset is not ready for nothing like that. But somewhere down the line, they'll catch on. It might take one of their friends to get on board, and then they want to get in. But here's the thing. You get in where you fit in, and we don't allow nothing to detour us. Just like Tim did, he didn't allow nothing to detour him from Hooks on Fishing. And now look at it.
That's right.
See, so that's the whole thing. So we can't look at who's not doing what. We just keep on doing what we're doing.
Tilling the soil, I
see. That's it. We're going to do it. It's going to happen. And see, we got to already know that it's going to happen without a doubt. You know, like I say, we might not see this thing happen, but we know we got it going. We planted that seed, and we allowed room for others to come water it. Because there's no big eyes or little U's. We're all a piece of this puzzle, and it's going to take all of us to make this picture look good.
That's right. And so, again, I say, you know, because when I look at optimistically with the vision that we're talking about, I still look at the details. I look at behind the scenes. What the challenges or the oppositions might be, and attempt to work to prepare myself mentally and emotionally to deal with those challenges, right? To deal with those oppositions, because we're gonna have people who don't buy in. But what I'm gonna tell you, what we do with the kids at school?
They try to take from.
Okay, it's one or two things, right? Either they want to try to come in and glean from what you do and then try to go somewhere and duplicate it, or they'll attempt to undermine it.
Right.
Now, here's what we do with the kid. All right, so we ask them for their attention. We get their attention. Then they pay attention because we ask them to pay attention. After they see that we have something to offer, now they're paying their attention by giving it for something back. This is how we break it down, right? And then we have youth that, because they're not interested, they want to attract attention or distract those who are giving their attention to us because they're not invested, right? So what we do, so what we do is we stop and say, okay, man, you got something more important going on, so share that with us. Because if you're not going to be involved yourself, can you to have the courtesy to not interrupt anyone who is.
Right?
So that's the challenge that I see is if you're not going to, like when I talk to people about reparations, I have people say this. They say, yeah, man, I don't think they're going to do it, but I'll accept it if they give it to me. And I say, well, I tell you what, if you don't think they're gonna give it to you,
give me your fortune.
Then sign this document saying that you give yours to me. Yeah. I got this document already printed up. You say you ain't gonna give it to you? Okay, well, sign this saying when the reparations are awarded, I hereby give my portion to Marvell Wilson Jr. Sign that. Because if you're not going to be a part of what makes it happen, don't block anybody else or block anything that should make it happen, right?
Oh, yeah,
because you're going to be the beneficiary anyway.
You know, I put him on mute. He was talking to somebody, and that's what we were talking about yesterday. When you're on the air, you can hear background. So I put him on mute. Keep going, man. You good?
Yeah. So. That's the thing that I concentrate on is if you're not going to be a part of it, then don't be around it so that you can give your opinions or give your soothsaying or give, you know, don't kick dirt on it or cast any doubt that it could happen. Just get out the way, because it's just like when we vote for a president. When the president becomes the president, whatever policies he put in place, if it benefits his party, it also benefits the other party. So get out the way and keep your mouth off of it if you're not going to participate in it. And that's the challenge that I see. I don't like the bad mouth because, see, the bad mouthing has more momentum a lot of times than the spreading of the good word. The good word is hard to sell. Bad mouthing is easy. All you got to do is say something negative, and the next thing you know, you got fire. And that's what I think about making sure that we can minimize as we go forth, because we don't need the doubt to be sown into anything we're doing. If you're not going to encourage it, okay, but don't kick dirt on it. So that's why I was asking Mark, what did he see in immediacy that we can do? And that's a good idea. We found a seamstress or a tailor, or we found, like, that little kid, the guy Chadwick, who grows the microgreens and places like that, and the woman Essie who is involved in agriculture. Let's go see what she got and see if it's a proficient or if it's efficient enough for us to invest in, and let's get started. Let's get started, not just encouraging her with words, but start putting some energy behind it.
I agree with you, man. It is All Brothers on Deck on Blog Talk Radio.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone@yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE@yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Looking for the good stuff. I can't find it on your backstroke. Looking
Yeah, we just got to tighten up on our backstroke. It is All Brothers on Deck on Blog Talk Radio. I'm DJ One Gone. The number to call is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It's All Brothers on Deck. We worldwide this morning, and we got a lot that we're talking about with Brother Marvell and Brother Mark. What's going on, y'all? Y'all still straight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Grateful. Straight and grateful, man.
Got that gratitude, attitude of gratitude.
So I was thinking we had a caller, but if not, in between that, when we talked about the money issue, because it takes different paths. But one of the things that the kid, I keep saying kid, this young man that we worked with yesterday stated, first he was the one that defined money as being something that we worship second to God in this country.
Yeah.
Money is worshiped second to God. He was the one to point it out that money breeds envy, and I was so glad Tim and I gave each other five so many times for what these young men were aware of and decided to share in the open forum, because it's like sometimes it'd be like Al Green used to say, he used to be tired of being alone, right? I used to be the same way. I used to be tired of being alone and how I saw stuff. And I'd say something to somebody and they didn't get it. And I felt like, oh, man, maybe I'm something wrong with me. I'm the only one seeing it like this. But we had young men who had those insights and they were sharing them. And they talked about what envy represents in our culture. See, when we have people who see something and they demonstrate envy about it, usually there's an undermining of some type that occurs because of that envy. And that's one of the challenges that I think that when we become aware of it, we can pay attention to it and we can see, we'll find a way to minimize it in our thought process. Because I even feel it. I even feel it when somebody says something that makes sense and sound good, automatically wish I had said it. Yeah, I wish I had said that.
I see,
you know, and if I don't catch myself, I'll find myself maybe not resenting the person, but having some kind of little undercurrent of feeling toward them. A feeling about this, some kind of way about them, because they keep beating me to the punch. You know, and so these are the little details. See, that's what I was saying, Mark. These are the kind of details that once we put them on the table to be observed, we'll have a better opportunity of looking at ourselves and seeing what it is about me that allows me to go there when this happens. What is it about me that allows me to shut down when this happens? What is it about me that makes me close-minded about something that somebody put on the table? And when we start examining those things, we'll be in better shape.
Right. And what that is, Marvell, that's something that's in all of us. It's an emotion. You know, we feel that we're the only ones that think this way because we're so used to being alone in certain conversations or something when we're talking about something. Seems like nobody else feels that way. And then when we do hear somebody that talk like that, instead of congratulating them and getting on board, we feel like, well, I done lost it. You know, that was my point of view, and I really wanted to talk about that. But it's good to know that there are others thinking like you. That lets you know you're not alone. You have some help out here. You have somebody that you converse with on these subjects. And see, that's what makes me feel good. Because like I said, I thought this way for the longest. And I was alone in my thoughts because nobody else felt that way. But what it let me know, I was around the wrong group of people. See, mm-hmm. I was around people that were jealous and envious. And mm-hmm. a lot of people want to think that way, but they don't want to give up what they're doing. It's an addiction. See, a lot of people would like to see change, but they don't want to give up their change. They don't want to give up their change to change.
Their dollars or their change.
We got to give up our change for change.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. So, you know, again, like I said, as we look closer and closer, deeper and deeper, we find those little things that amount to big things when you have a bunch of them. You have a bunch of little things that amounts to a big thing. And what you talk about, the emotion thing, see, you know, we're a visual aid society as a rule. You know, what we see, we can describe far better than if you told me. If I could tell you something and you might retain, because we do it with the students all the time. I'll do a presentation or Tim will do a presentation. And then Tim, he's got the wherewithal to stop and say, hold on. Tell me what you heard Mr. Wilson or heard me say. And they'll be like, he was saying something about, wasn't he saying something about, you know, the retention of what the spoken word is far less than if you say, oh, what did Mr. Tim have on when he walked out of the room? Oh, he had on a blue shirt. He had on some black pants. He had on some Nike some Skechers. They can describe everything because of the visual factor is outstanding, right? So we're a visual aid society, and we're also a very spiritual, emotional society. And that's been working against us because the predictability of our emotions allows someone to be able to plant seeds, to make stuff go in a direction, or to be able to handle our emotion like anger and frustration after the fact, because they already know, oh, yeah, they're going to get angry. As long as they tear up and burn up their neighborhood, we ain't worried.
What?
But when they start coming out here, then that's when we're going to be ready for them. But long as they're burning up and tearing up their neighborhood in their anger and frustration, you know, we'll report it on the news, but we ain't going to do nothing about it unless you try to mess with Walmart. Start breaking in Walmart, then it's the headline news, broken Walmart. But you can burn down all the little local mom-and-pop stores, and it ain't going to get no coverage.
Right.
Because our emotions are manipulable and predictable. So we're emotional and we're visual, and we have also turned that into vocations where we use our vision, our visuality, to recreate stuff like in the NBA, them boys doing some stuff, they doing some stuff, and like I marvel at how adept they are with that ball, man. You know, it's just like it's just unbelievable. Once they start visualizing, that's what I'm saying about once they start visualizing their next move, then they practice it, and then the next thing you know, they're demonstrating it, man. So we're that people. We are that people. We are that people with the potential to, once we put our hands on something and focus our energy and our attention on something, excellence is going to occur. So that's why the reparations project it's not shouldn't be a hard sell. Give us some money with a vision, and we're going to perform.
And you know, you're correct there. But, you know, you said someone you was talking about that ball. See, you have to think about something, that hand and that ball. I've seen that ball leave a hand from a position that I know doggone well that ball ain't going to go in. But we got to think about technology, radio control. See, football, radio control. These gloves, you could put a chip in something minute as a glove and put it on your hand, and they can control that ball to go straight to your hand. See, So we have to understand that everything is not what it seems.
Wow, and it, I never thought about that.
Yes. Yes.
I never thought about that. That's kind of deep,
Technology. Technology has always been more advanced than what our minds could think of, because as a kid, we had a cassette player. We had the album. We never thought of a CD or a USB chip holding 7,000 songs. Thought of that. But look, that's what we got. So...
Yeah, but I don't want to risk undermining the gift and skills and the excellence that we demonstrate before that technology. We still
had the ability
to demonstrate excellence in whatever we put
But this is the thing. What are we demonstrating that excellence for? To line the pockets of the oppressor. That's just like gladiators. If you don't do good, we're going to feed you to the lions. Either you win or you lose. So that's the mindset we have to have. That's why I say it's important that we get back to basics. Develop our own currency, our own means of transferring funds from one to another. We take their money and invest it and grow it, and then that way we can increase so that they will decrease. Because, see, once we stop utilizing their funds, they're lost. See, it's a war out here. But right now, we're on their side. See, they're not displeased with us right now. But once we stop using that dollar, oh, their eyes are going to open. These niggers are getting smart. You know? So, like I say, it's win-win for us if we do get back to basics. And if we don't, it's total annihilation, just a slow process of it. But I commend you and Tim for going into these schools. And I wanted to ask you, Tim, about the thing that was going on last year. Is that still in place where they will call you out or someone else out before they call the police on these kids?
Right now, Brother to Brother is doing that, where my co-host on 97.5, Aaron Cardoza, he does that. They call him. He's able to go. And, yeah. Hold on. I got a fish. Hold on.
You on the air.
You got a fish.
Yeah, he got a fish. I want that fish now.
Yeah, we're gonna have to fillet that one and eat that one ourselves, man. You gotta devote that one to us. Yeah.
Well, I had to dance when I'd be out there.
Yeah, I know you guys. Hey, I'm the fish eater. Y'all the fish catchers. I'll eat it proudly. So. Yeah. So I mean, I'm just curious. You know, if we don't have callers in so far, we have listeners.
Yeah, I dropped the phone. I felt him pull back. I missed him, y'all. I got to go.
Oh, man. God. We was looking for you to devote that one to us. You know, when you called that one, we was looking to eat that one, me and Mark, to share that one.
How many you got in your bucket now, Tim? How many you have in your bucket? He even got off. He upset now.
Yeah, he upset. He missed that fish. He gonna blame it on us.
Uh-huh.
If I should be talking to y'all, I'd have got that fish. Yeah.
Wait a minute. He's up there looking like coach now.
So listen, man. Listen to this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'm listening.
So far, it doesn't seem like we're getting many calls. However, I'm guessing that's because we got a lot of listeners.
Right. Right. And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing because
all we want them to do is tell a friend, relay the message, relay what they've heard. And maybe one day they'll call in, or whoever they tell, a call in. But we can't stop talking.
Now, see, here's what I really kind of guess, that as a result of the content and the spirit in which we're delivering, because I hope that they understand that everything we're saying is the spirit of enrichment, encouragement, and betterment for our people. I hope they understand it. For all people generally, but our people specifically, because we are the ones who flounder in a lot of areas, right, and haven't found our footing. So I'm hoping that when they do call in and they share, they're sharing not from an emotional but a mental and spiritual delivery of their best thinking and their best feeling. So maybe somebody might say, well, you know, I don't need to talk to you guys. Y'all kind of handling it or whatever. But now think about what we're saying and add to what the messages that we're attempting to bring across so that we can have more power in moving toward the solution. So I'm hoping that people that are listening are thinking about the solution, and when they call in, that's what we can connect on. What you think the solution is. You can define what you think the challenge is or what challenge has been introduced to you through this broadcast, and now what are we going to do to move toward correction and solution? And that's what I'm hoping the call-ins will be. Because I can't say we're running out of time, but I'm going to say that it's timely for us to do certain things to make certain things happen. Because if not, they don't seem to be getting any better. Our young people are getting more caught up in the addiction to electronics than it's safe to feel about the future. It's fair to feel that the future is going to be kind of shaky if they're not expressing themselves and they're using these outside stimuli to keep them occupied while they're not communicating.
Well, see, you have to understand, Marvell, they have a bigger platform than we do. So we have to work with what we got. And just like you said, you're reaching kids there. There are other groups just like us that are reaching other kids. So we have to hope and pray that those kids connect somewhere down the line. We got a lot of young brothers that are awake. They are awoke. They see life differently. They no longer see things the way man has trained them to see it, and they're fighting strongly against it. Their standpoint and their views are a lot further than ours, and they're standing strong on this. So we do have hope. We just have to work with what we got, where we at, and we can't look outside of that arena, because if we do, we'll be disappointed, and we'll be we'll want to just shut it down. Well, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to give it up. No, we can't do that. We got to keep going. We got to keep on keeping on.
Okay, what are the local – what? Okay, I can share – you talk about the young people that are making a difference and having the courage to speak on issues that, as I said back in the day Al Green used to say, tired of being alone. A lot of times, though, you find themselves in that oneness, state of oneness about something, and it might be difficult for them, but they show the courage to keep pushing through. We have two young men that are local with us. One of them's name is DeAndre, and he does stuff on Facebook, and we have Darius, who's doing stuff on Facebook, and they're talking about the scourges that exist in our culture and in our neighborhoods. They're talking about drug drug scourge. They're talking about the gang scourge. Mm-hmm. They're being honest and candid from their perspective of being in that age group and seeing it
right.
face value on a regular basis, and they're speaking out on that. So I just want
right.
to mention that we have some young folks,
oh,
and
well,
they came under the tutorage of Tim of Tim Pool.
Right.
They came
under the tutoring of all us men who attended those healing circles. You know, when they, because a couple of them before, a lot of men came in there. It was just a few men. But then they heard input from a lot of men. And that took precedence over a whole lot of stuff, that a whole lot of ways that them kids were feeling. And those kids began to open up, you know. And like I say, I commend Tim once again for not giving up and throwing in the towel. But want you to check out this young man named, he calls himself 19 Keys. Look him up on YouTube. 19
what?
19 Keys. 19 Keys. Yeah, 19 Keys.
K-E-Y-S?
Yes. There's a lot of brothers on there, and I'll be sending you some of this stuff.
Please do. Yeah, keep me on the post, because, you know, I need to be able to just click something. Don't have me going through and all that, because I'm a Flintstone.
And see, and these brothers are doing things. They are doing things. So that's why
I see. That's what I'm seeing, Mark. Let me stop you, Mark. Let me stop you, because see, now you're defining what we can do in the short term. See, when these
right.
kids are doing this stuff, we can pour into them. We can invest in them so that they can heighten their ability to carry the
right,
message. Right.
Right. Right.
That's
right.
That's
we
what
got,
we're
that's
the short term.
Saying, well, see, it's just like us. Me and you, we are two different people from different walks of life. But somehow I brought us together through Tim. See, Tim is a connecting point for a lot of things, a lot of people. And that's what we all have to become. We have to strive to become a Tim in other people's lives, be that connecting point. See, I tell you about the things that you've seen and heard, and that's how it goes. And that's just networking. We got to network through love, through care, and that's what builds unity. And it's going to happen, my brother. It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
So check this out. We are running out of time.
Sure,
hey, let me holler at y'all. We're running out of time. So I'm going to come back after this message. We off at 11. I'm going to come back after this message. Y'all just hold tight right quick, and then we'll let y'all get your final comments.
All right, great fisherman.
I don't know.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
Family
Skate Night.
Kelly has won.
And it's all taking place at King's Skate Country in the city of Elk Grove. Thursday, November 30th, 2023.
From 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And in light of this special occasion, the keyword is free.
Free?
No way. Free. Everyone free. Free entry, free food, great music equals fun for you and the family. King Skate Country, 1404 Franklin Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. We'll see you there.
November 30th, right?
Right.
Hey, yeah, so, yeah, we're about out of here, man. I'm going to give my guests and co-host a couple of seconds to say what they need to say. Please watch your watch. Let both of y'all get on, and let's get off. We'll go with you, Mark, first.
Well, I just want to encourage all those that are listening, as I encourage myself, that we can't give up, and we got to know that this will happen. If we want it to happen, it will happen. Peace and blessings.
Yeah. Okay, so, hey, oh, man, listen. I'm glad that's the final note, that we have everything that's required to bring about the success in any of these ventures that we've been discussing. Working with our young people, understanding them, working with our communities, growing in our communities, finding a way to define ourselves in this sphere as someone to be respected and to be bought from, to be catered to, that we have all of these qualities, that when we put our hands on something and we do it with deliberacy, that it's going to flourish. And that's the thing that I really would like to have in a parting statement, is that whatever we decide we want to do, we have the ability to create the excellence to get it done.
Yes, sir.
Did you get the fish, Tim?
Okay, so I can't get back on the show for some reason. I'm out. I moved to the left, and I'm out here. So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done with it. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So is God's people. It's just that most people want to be God themselves instead of leaning on to God's understanding. Yeah, there's a God in you. Yes, there's a God in you. But let that light shine amongst the darkness, like my brother Marvell and Mark does. Let that light shine in the rooms of darkness to heal somebody so they can, too, be a light to somebody else. It is all brothers on deck. I got to go. We finna go, and we love y'all. Peace and blessings.
All right,
peace,
my brother.
And blessings. Right on.
Peace. Catch some fish, because we are fishermen of men. And take some of the fish to Baba so he can fry it up for the healing circle.